All right. Good evening, everyone. Hi, Murray.
Let's try that. Okay. So, the worship going on. How about we spend a minute or two just turning around and saying good day to the people around us?
Feel free to grab yourselves a drink and stuff out the back as well. Do that at any time during the service. I won't be offended. Much. All right, so welcome everyone. This is our final week in the Who is Jesus series. So we've been looking at Jesus from four different angles over the 4 weeks of the series. So Liz kicked us off speaking about Jesus the prophet. So that means he's the one who speaks on God's behalf. And then we had Josh spoke about Jesus the priest. That means he's the one who mediates between us and God. It's the middle point. And last week, Andy talked about Jesus the rebel. And so Jesus is the one who took the rebel's place, so our place on the cross, and died the death we deserved. And this week I'm talking about Jesus the king. So Jesus the one is the one who rules and reigns forever. And the reason we're doing this series is because at the heart of Christianity is this question. Who is Jesus? Who do you say that Jesus is? And it's a question that Jesus asked his disciples. They were all sitting around a campfire one night, and Jesus asked them the question. He said, look, I know what other people have said about who I am. I know who other people are saying that I am, but I care about you. Who do you say that I am? So that's the question that you need to answer. Because at the end of the day, that's the question that Jesus is going to ask you. He's not going to ask you, well, what was your stance on gay marriage? And he's not going to ask you, what's your stance on the use of alcohol in the church? He's going to ask you, what was your stance on me? And so I want to show you a modern day retelling, a video that I found, of this question being asked. And it's funny I say modern day, it was only a couple of years ago, but you'll see how much web design has changed, particularly for things like Facebook and Gmail. But anyway, the video is around the question, who do you say that I am? Turn on the clicker. Click. Just go to the next slide.
Thank you.
So who do you say Jesus is? All right, maybe the battery's dead in this. Okay, next slide, Tom. Thanks. So tonight we're looking at Jesus the King. And I actually did a message on this a little while ago. So some of this message might be familiar to some of you guys. But who can tell me, what makes a king a king? What are some characteristics of a king?
A crown.
A crown, yes.
Followers
needs a kingdom.
Authority.
Good word.
Power.
What'd you say?
Power.
Power. I think you said... First off, I thought you said pal, and then I thought you said hell. Power, yes. Anything else?
Subjects.
Yep. Princesses. Thank you, Laura. That's why Laura didn't preach in this series. Anything else?
Big voice, so he can say, up with his head.
Yes, if you're Henry. Yes, yeah. So it's interesting that the Israelites, so the Jewish people, they wanted kings. They wanted somebody to look up to and follow, and all the kings that they had let them down in some way or another. And don't we want the same? We all want strong leaders that we can trust and who we can follow and who we know will do things that are in our best interests. And if the leader lets us down, well, then we become more and more cynical. Not just about them, but about the position they hold. Like, it's fair to say that Donald Trump has done a lot of damage to the office of the President of the United States, yeah? Because his failings are seen as America's failings for a lot of people. We don't even have to go to America. I mean, the political sphere in Australia and the moral failings of our politicians means that a lot of us have little to no faith in politicians as well. But at the same time, we keep searching and we keep hoping for that one person that we can put our faith in. And so really the question that you need to ask yourself is, well, where do you find hope? Where is your hope found? And I want to look tonight at three ways in which Jesus shows us that he is the type of king that we can put our faith in and that we can put our hope in and that we can trust with our lives. Now, for the type A's out there who like to see a sermon outline, this is where I'm heading. Hopefully, if the clicker works. Nah, can I get one of you guys to come and change the battery in this? So number one, that Jesus is our servant king. Tom, can you go number two? That Jesus is our suffering king. And number three, that Jesus is our sovereign king. So let's start with point one, that Jesus is our servant king. Can you go to the next slide, Tom? And next one. So Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So how...
There's a typo which changes everything in that sentence.
What's the typo?
Did come to be served.
Oh, yeah, it did not come to be served. There we go. So how do you know that somebody actually cares for you? Well, it's not when they tell you that they care for you, because anybody can do that. And I remember just after my dad died that a lot of people came around and said, oh, we'll take care of you and your siblings. And do you know how we found out who actually meant it? Well, it was the people who followed through with their actions. Like, they'd call my mum and chat to her, or they'd help me and my siblings with school stuff. They'd come and they'd serve us, because of that, we knew that they actually loved and cared about us. See, Jesus isn't focused on his own needs being met, but on us being reconciled to God. See, Jesus isn't a self-focused king. He's an others-focused king. Thank you very much. Let's give a hand to our tech team. You're doing well. See, we worship a God who is not trying to get people to serve him, but instead he serves us. We worship a God who isn't a megalomaniac who needs people to worship him, but a God who loves us so much that he would humble himself and take on human flesh. And we worship a God who knows our greatest need is to be fully known and fully loved. And Jesus comes to earth and he tells us exactly that, that he loves us, warts and all. Now you can trust Jesus with your life because he only wants good for you. He wants you to have life and have it to the full. And that's found in relationship with him. Now, don't mistake me. Jesus is not Santa who's here to give you all your hopes and presents and dreams and promise you a life of comfort. See, Jesus is much greater than that. And by having the servant king in your life, you can know that God is for you and not against you. That even when the world seems against you, God is on your side. And that leads me to point two, that Jesus is our suffering king. See, we don't just want a king who cares for us, but we also want a king that can relate to what we're going through. And the ability to empathize, to understand what's going on, not just at an abstract level, but understand it because they've felt it too. And I'd hazard a bet that if you think of who is your strongest friend, who's your strongest friend at the moment, it's probably people that you've gone through tough times with. Now, this is an argument against a lot of religions, that God or the gods, they see what we're going through, and they tell us to suck it up. It's the problem of evil. If God is so good, then why do bad things happen in my life and in the lives of so many other people? And it's a compelling argument, because pain and suffering do seem pointless, and I'd say that outside of Jesus, you'll struggle to find hope in pain and suffering. But Jesus comes into the world and he doesn't say, get over it. He says, I'm with you always. He doesn't say, well, your pain is just an illusion, like some other religions do. He experiences it himself on the cross. See, Jesus shows that whatever pain, whatever suffering you're going through, it can find meaning in and through the workings of Jesus Christ. See, the symbol of Christianity is the cross, the most horrible torture device that's ever been created, because it shows that God is with us in our suffering and that he knows what it's like to suffer. So it means that we have a king who knows what we're going through. We can turn to God. We can't turn to God and say, well, I feel abandoned, but you wouldn't know what that feels like, because we have Jesus on a cross crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We can't turn to God and say, well, I'm in so much pain, but what do you know about that? Because our God came down and bore our sin and shame on his own body. And we can't say that Jesus doesn't know what it's like to be going through temptation, because he himself was tempted by the devil. And as the book of Hebrews says, and now that Jesus has suffered and was tempted, he can help anyone else who is being tempted. See, Jesus is the king who cares for you and knows what you're going through and loves you through it all. He is our suffering king. But all that counts for not much if a king has no power, no authority to do anything about it. I mean, why do we go to leaders or kings and politicians at all? It's because they have the authority to get things done, and nobody holds more authority than Jesus Christ. And that's point number three, that Jesus is our sovereign king. Our servant suffering king becomes the King of Kings. And if you claim that he is your king, then that should change the way in which you live your life. See, this is what the Bible says in Philippians 2 about how we should live our lives. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. See, Jesus is our servant king. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is our suffering king. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is our sovereign king. See, Jesus himself, he told us that in this world we will have troubles. Jesus does not minimize whatever pain, whatever struggles, whatever challenges you are going through right now. But instead, he gives us the hope. He says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. So where do you find your hope? And do you know Jesus?
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the weak. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Who do you say that Jesus is? It's interesting, we're talking at the Bible study on Friday night about how what really differentiates a lot of the different religions and really different people is the answer to that question. Who do you say that Jesus is? And let me finish by saying this. In the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we see the kingship of Jesus made manifest. In chapter 5, we see the Lamb, who is Jesus, that he is the only one in all of creation found worthy to open the scroll containing the judgments of God. In chapter 11, we hear voices in heaven proclaiming that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of Christ and that he will reign forever and ever. In chapter 12, we read that the authority of Christ is what causes Satan to be thrown down to earth. In chapter 17, the Lamb, so Jesus, conquers all those arrayed against him. And the guy who wrote the book, John, stresses that he conquers because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then finally, in chapter 19 of Revelation, we read of Jesus' triumphant return, coming to reign and rule and doing so because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how does Jesus ultimately use all that authority? How do people usually use absolute power and authority? They use it to build themselves up, and they often end up oppressing others. Just open any history book. But how does Jesus use absolute power and authority? In Revelation 21, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. See, that's my king. Jesus has ultimate power and authority, not the circumstances that you're in, not the politician or celebrity or even the best friend that you hope will come through for you. And the hope we find in Jesus extends beyond this world and this life. So do you want to know the last words of Buddha before he died? We strive with earnestness. In other words, continue to work hard. What were the last words of Jesus before he died? It is finished. See, I don't know about you, but I'm putting my hope and my trust and my life in the hands of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is our servant King, who is our suffering King and our sovereign King, now and forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this series, we just thank you that we've been able to look at your Son Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us and continues to do for us. Pray for those here who are still undecided or not sure about who Jesus is, that you'd reveal yourself to them and that they'd be willing to share their questions with others. That we just thank you that you brought them here tonight. And I just pray for those of us who do know you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we'd live our lives in light of that true fact. Pray that you would continue to use us to help build up others and to love people with the kind of radical love that you loved us with and continue to love us with. We pray all these things in your holy and wonderful name. Amen.